Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms your thinking by renewing your mind with new ways to see the world, work, and life. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is Andy Christensen. Andy is the owner, founder, and chief encouragement officer of AC and Company. He is a three-time entrepreneur, best-selling mentorship author. Got the book right here. Go check it out. It's on Amazon. And he has proven anyone can succeed if you are curious, gritty, and humble. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thanks, Kenny. Great to be with you.
Well, man, I know we are probably going to have a ball and chase a few rabbit trails, and hopefully everybody stays with us because it will be fun, energizing, and entertaining. Just make sure you keep your eyes on the road for those of you who are doing that, and maybe pay attention to your surroundings. Don't laugh so hard you run into traffic if you're on a jog. But Andy, my first question to you is, what's on your mind lately?
Well, since you say lately, I was with the Air Force / Marines last week, and this is the first thought that came to me when I heard that question. And I was there for, let's see, we're going on, it was 18 months between this particular group that I was with there and the revisit to the same particular group, but different participants. And they brought up the author Epictetus again, and they seem to have him as their beginning nugget before the teacher gets up there, me in this scenario for that week, and teaches on the lesson that I'm there to teach on leadership. What's that have to do with anything, and who cares about Epictetus? Epictetus is one of those historical authors that has this basic message of live on purpose. The one thing he would teach is live on purpose. And what struck me was, these guys think this author, this thought leader, is so important that they're willing to have him as their opener for every session. And they go through, let's see, 22 sessions. So 22 Epictetus episodes. And why does that matter to anybody? Because his main theme is others. Like, have integrity, be about others. And it struck me while I was there, how little we do and how there's a leadership crisis today, even though we have more books and gurus, you, me included, than ever before. But leadership's getting worse if you believe what Gallup says about all the polling they do. So I wonder, and this is what's really on my mind in a sentence, is leadership failing or not getting better? Maybe that's a better way to say it. It's not getting progressively better to keep up with the changing times, because maybe we're not others focused enough, which is what leadership's all about. We just talk about it, but we don't really do it. That's what's on my mind. I'm wondering that.
No, it's a, well, as someone, if you're familiar with Working Genius, wonder is one of my geniuses. So I'm all good with wonder, and I will explore anything and everything. So is leadership getting worse? So what in the sessions you run, the literature you're reading, the Gallup polls, those sort of things, what are you seeing as sort of the current thinking, the prevailing wisdom about leadership as it exists and is trending today?
Man, it almost seems like flavor of the month club. Everybody's got their theory and or their book, and they're just working it to get their message out there, and a company will hire that person, and then everyone thinks they need to absorb that message. And I don't know if that's the case or not, or should be the case, that we should be going after one message. I was just on with a Air Force pilot before we got on the phone, and she said this. She said, every model is wrong except the one that's useful. And I was like, man, I got to think about that for a while. And I've been thinking about it. It seems like everybody has their own model. But does it work for everyone? That's the
question. I've heard a version of that statement that went, it said, every model is flawed, but some are useful.
Right.
Right. And what's funny is I was on the, I was on a call earlier today and we were talking about the difference between like system and soul, which you and I are proponents of, but there's other systems and frameworks out there. And yeah. It's, you know, we're also noticing in some cases, people are looking for that one system, that one theory, like you're talking about, to rule them all. Do you think that that's that pursuit? Like that's number one, is that at the root of it? And number two, if so, is that what's making things get worse? Because it's, I don't know what you call it, a fruitless pursuit, maybe.
I think if you got 20 of us in a room, at least 10 of us would have different opinions on that question. Maybe all 20 of us would. But I'm one of those guys that can complicate anything if you give me long enough. But if you give me just a little bit more time, I will take something to the extreme of complicated and then I'll make it simple. And I have to make this simple. I think as I've been going through this in my journey of running companies and starting and selling and failing and succeeding at various things, I think it comes down to something simple. It's, we need to learn to be more than do. Like we need to be a good leader more than do right leadership stuff. And it's about others more than ourselves. And I put, this is in my book. I think this was inspired that we should be interested more than interesting. And I think those are the simple facts that if it, you know, we're given two eyes and they're in front of us, you know, they don't look inside of us. They don't look at us. We look away. We look forward. And I think it's just been given to us in our anatomy. We have two ears, two eyes, and one mouth. And that's 4-1. So if we're listening and watching, you know, Peter Drucker, if you know the name, he was the Simon Sinek of, you know, 30 years ago, the Brené Brown Simon Sinek of 30 years ago, management guru. Right. Before he died, he had three articles in the Wall Street Journal, and almost entirely they were summed up by saying, great leaders are great listeners.
So,
ouch.
I know, mic drop, and we're done. Thank you for joining the show. No, but... So great leaders are great listeners. So, and I would totally, totally agree. And I think if we're in that room with those 20 people, I don't think you'd find anybody who would disagree with that statement.
Right.
But if that is the case, then what aren't all these leadership gurus, these leadership experts, these framework creators, designers, what aren't they listening to? Because if you are, you're saying you're a leader and you're trying to lead leaders, right? Because that's what all these books and frameworks and courses and seminars are about. Shouldn't you be listening to the marketplace? Shouldn't you be listening to the pains and the challenges and the problems and crafting a solution for that? And if that is the truth and nobody would disagree with it, then why is there a decline in effective leadership? What false story are they believing about the world and what's needed?
I don't know about you, but I'll just beat up on myself for a moment. I know when I drink coffee in the morning, I should not drink it like a melted donut, but I do like it that way. You know, maybe I should just drink it black, you know, not put the sugar and the cream in it. But I justify it by, it's only a cup. It's only one cup. And I drink water in the morning. I do vitamins and I exercise. I do a lot of good things. But I like that coffee that way. And I just wonder if we're so inundated with things that distract us from what we know is a better way to do a thing. You know, we're busy, we're distracted, it's noisy, and we're going to get to it. I have a tool, I'll get it to you, and if you want to send it out or make it available somewhere, feel free. It's called Listening Bootcamp, and it's a 7-day exercise where I've got a little checklist. It's like, just be intentional to listen to somebody once a day. like go out of your way to not talk and just listen. And the best way to listen is to ask a good question, a question you really want to hear the answer to. Like, for example, what I do, I love to hear what people say about, hey, if you had $1 million, well, 10 million, if you had $10 million in the bank, what would you do for work? I don't know why that interests me so much, but it always has, and it still does, and it may always in the future. So I ask people where they're from. I love geography. I love traveling. I love to hear where people are from. I probably know a restaurant in their town, and we'll start talking about it. And there's an instant connection, and they feel heard and they feel valued. And that makes me feel good. I don't know why. I don't know if I learned it or I was born this way, but I like to be interested in people. So I think we have to build that muscle. I don't know how we got off onto listening. I don't know if that's like a podcast killer. Everyone just tuned out like, that's boring, but man, it's a superpower. Try it. If you're listening, just try it and see if it makes
the other
person's day.
If you're listening, go listen. We probably lost all the people that actually needed to hear it because they stopped listening and they're the ones who needed it the most.
Yeah.
So then it might be fair to say current thinking is let's talk our way through the current state of leadership, not listen. So what, and I think we've talked about it at a high level. You've mentioned it is if leadership's getting worse, you mentioned the Gallup poll, which I'd be interested in knowing more about what their data says. What has been the impact of this lack of listening in leadership?
Wow. That's a great question. I don't know if I have the answer, but I do notice that we have a hiring shortage and crisis. We have a retention crisis. And I wonder how much of that is the lack of investing in other people, being interested in other people. I'll give you an example. When COVID hit, a few of my clients had a tough time finding and keeping talent. And I said, hey, our company can help you with that. Do you want us to do that? And one company, blue collar company, supplements manufacturer here in Atlanta, our team became the primary recruiter and reviewer. Like we did 30, 60, 90 day reviews. Mm-hmm. We spent time recruiting and everything you can imagine to make people feel valuable and build the culture. We reduced turnover 56% in that year, and retention was over 90%. And this is an entry level, pretty much blue collar, dusty, not glamorous job that people were coming into.
Yeah.
And I think the reason, and that's what everybody wants to hear, I believe the reason was we treated every person that walked through that door or on the phone for the initial interviews with respect. You know, something so simple of an interview, I'd say, hey, thanks for making time. They're like, you're thanking me for making time? I'm the one that wants the job. Thank you for making time. I said, no, thank you. You have a choice. Which airline you're going to fly? Thank you for choosing us. And just respectful. I'm not trying to schmooze them. I'm being respectful of my fellow, you know, man or woman. And I say, hey, I'd really like to grab like 15, 20 minutes. Can I just hear your story and what you're looking for? And I'll tell you our story and what we're looking for. Very honoring, very basic, very just, you know, matter of fact. And then if I liked them, I say, come on for an interview. And I said, I'm going to give you a tour. I don't put them in some office and shine a light in their face. I mean, there's a place for that somewhere, I guess, but let me take them on a tour. Like, hey, thanks for coming in. Thanks for taking time out of your day. Let me tell you what we do. Bro, I'm interviewing them the whole time and I'm making an assessment. We're not going to hire everyone. And then I'm asking them questions. Can they think? Can they introduce themselves to people? Are they asking good questions? And then when they come on board, we give them a really good introduction. The first time they show up to work, we're like, hey, welcome. We've got the day planned out for you. We even give them a sample work day before they'd even come to work. We want to see if they like it. Why waste time hiring someone if they don't like it? But I think with all of that, leadership is about investing in the other person. You know, it's Chick-fil-A has figured out that training is the most important thing for retention. They just bought a university. You know, what has the military figured out? Hey, come serve us and we'll pay for your college. Chick-fil-A saying, hey, come serve with us and we'll pay for your college. It's pretty brilliant. And the mm-hmm. employee believes that if you're investing in me, you care about me. If you give me health care, you care about me. If there are free snacks in the office, you care about me. So, you know, the baby boomers, a beat up on my own kind, they think it's just some game we're playing. Like, oh, they want free snacks and ping pong tables and, you know, draft beer and cold brewed coffee. I'm like, yeah, they do, because it says you care about them. Do you care about them? I mean, do you? Or are they just a number? Oh, yeah. Like, well, if you still haven't answered the question. But I think the millennials and centennials, which are under 40 years old now, and then centennials are 25 and under, so 40 to 26 and 25 to like 18, I think they're just looking for something a little above normal. Hmm. Like I think they're just looking for purpose. They're looking for mentorship, help me grow, convince me that this is a great place for me to spend my time. It's not complicated. Well, they don't show up for work. Have you thought about why they don't? Well, it's still wrong. It's not on me to get them to show up to work. Maybe it is to some degree. Maybe it is. Have you built a good environment and culture? Are you kind? Are you tough and kind? Like every millennial, sorry, I'll get off my rant. I'm going to land the airplane.
You're good.
This is my pet peeve of baby boomers and millennials. Everybody, it's not that millennials are saying, coddle me. I mean, maybe it looks like that. I think they're just saying, is there anything good here? Or is this just a really hard, tough culture? And they're like, well, what, they just want us to give them free food and you don't have to show up to work? I'm like, that's not what they're asking for. They're asking for purpose, mentorship, kindness, authenticity, transparency, things that are simple to do that basically cost no money. And they're willing to work for that. And I just think they want challenge too. Like they're not just saying treat me and coddle me. Like I can accept a challenge if it's worth being challenged for.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my take on leadership. I think we're missing the mark on one thing primarily. We really don't care. We're not showing we care about people. That's my opinion.
So if you were diving deeper, and, you know, and that's part of the work you and I do in the world with teams is, you know, we hear something and we keep digging and digging and digging, right? Because it's sort of what's the question behind the question.
There you go.
The reason behind the reason. So you mentioned listening, but do you think if we were to keep exploring that further down, with leaders that are struggling with this, that have this unproductive way of thinking, it's not a failure to listen or lack of listening. It's apathy. It's a failure to care.
Maybe.
Because if you cared, then you would listen. Is that fair to say, or do you feel like those are in different order?
Yeah, I'd have to ponder that. I can't disagree with that. I think they're, if nothing else, they're on the same side of the line of scrimmage. Like they're both on defense or they're both on offense. Mm-hmm. I think they're offense. Okay. But, you know, maybe one's a running back and one's a quarterback. But I think they're on the same side of the same team.
They're helping each other.
I think so. Yeah. I just think we're making it possibly too complicated. You know, Patrick Lencioni, you mentioned his personality tool. We're both fans of his. He's so simple, man. I read stuff that he writes and I start swearing. I'm angry that I didn't think of it first because it's so simple. Yeah. And I have so much respect for him and their team and how they go about their business because he's just back to basics, you know, like three mm-hmm. signs of a miserable job, which is now called the something about employee engagement, the truth about employee engagement. They renamed it. And it's basically every employee wants three things. They want to be measured. Really? Yeah. They want to know when they score a touchdown. We all do, or we'll get bored. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to be measured for all the bad stuff only. So measurement, purpose, And do you care about me? Do I matter? Do you see me? So those three things are so simple. Mm-hmm. And even in companies I go into, they're not doing even the simple things like that. But here's what they're doing. They're so good. Most entrepreneurs are good at their product or their service, and they're customer facing focused, you know, but I think Richard Branson has it crushed, man. He nailed it. He's like, the business world gets it backwards. You're not supposed to focus on shareholders, customers, and then employees. You need to reverse that and first focus on your employees, mm-hmm. then customers, then shareholders. Because if you do that inside out, everybody's happy. But if you do it the first way, generally you get a bunch of turnover, a bunch of employees that don't care. And then you're just like, employees suck.
Well, right. And then it's a downward spiral.
Yeah. And I think leadership, you got to, you know, here's an interesting thing. The rule of nine. I heard this from a guy named Jim Dethmer years ago. He said, you can only manage nine people well. And if you're a typical family of four, that leaves five people at work that you can manage well in your life. And so who are your five? And if you're a business owner listening today, good luck trying to go beyond five. I mean, you're just going to start getting crispy. But if you can train those five to then work with their five and their five mm-hmm. with their five, now you've got the military model, you know, next man, next woman up.
Right. Well, by those numbers, I'm screwed because I have five kids.
you're done, man.
I'm done. I've reached my limit. No, I love that the military uses that with the, you know, you have a team of six, one's a leader and they're managing their five. I think Dave Ramsey and his Entree Leadership materials and everything talks about that has governed their leadership and hierarchy model for their org chart and has served them rather well, in addition to some other things that have made them now, the $300 million company plus. I can't keep up anymore, but
amazing.
But that is intriguing. So if we care and if we listen, then maybe I would suggest, and I'd be curious of your take, if we're showing care, compassion, we're being that other-centered, we have another centered way of being that you were talking about at the top of the call or discussion, conversation. But we're also really listening. Not just hearing, but we're listening to the people that we have been given charge over to lead and improve, then maybe we don't need as many systems and frameworks and things. We would actually be able to discern the signal from the noise in the marketplace when it comes to finding the right tools to bring in, because I don't think you're ever going to stop high level driven leaders and entrepreneurs from consuming the latest trend, right? That it's never going to stop coming. Yeah, and you're not going to stop those people from consuming and digesting it. But through compassion and really listening, they may actually be able to sort out, oh, this is what my people need. This is actually what would help. I don't have to bring in 10 things. I can bring in two things because I found the two things that actually would be meaningful and helpful in this situation. And that doesn't cast aspersions on the other things. It just means I don't have to run my people ragged with that flavor of the month mentality.
Yeah, you might be right. I think we need systems. I think we need frameworks.
Sure.
Because it keeps us between the lines, so to speak, and we don't crash into the mountain or go over the cliff. But I would just say, you know, before we jump off this topic or we end the convo, let me just ask you, Kenny, when somebody takes a real genuine interest in you and says something like, hey, man, tell me how you're doing. And you're like, oh, I'm doing well. Like, well, walk me through it. Like, what's been going on? Like, tell me about your weekend. And you can tell they really want to hear about it. And so you go to another level of conversation, right?
Yeah.
If that happens, how does that make you feel?
I mean, even just from the question, it flashes me back to my first company, which was a digital marketing agency. And as I talk to business owners about how they wanted to represent themselves online and in the marketplace and search, you know, everybody's talking SEO and search results and I got to be found and send out these emails and all these things. I was like, okay, but let's boil it down. What is it that they're actually looking for? They wanted to be seen and they wanted to be heard.
Yeah.
Because if you feel seen and you feel heard, then you feel that your existence matters.
Boom. And I wonder if that's the epicenter. We all want to matter. We want to be known for something that's valuable. I heard this the other day. I hate to keep bringing up military examples, but that's what's popping in my mind, that this event I was doing in New York, and the current retired colonel started it off, and she mentioned this guy that would say, one of her superiors, every morning, he'd say, listen, nobody wakes up today wanting to suck. And I'm like, that's interesting. And the more I thought about it, I think he's right. There might be some people, to use your word earlier, that are apathetic, but I bet there's a reason. Originally, they didn't wake up wanting to suck. Like, people want to win. So as a leader, isn't our job to set other people up for success? And that means some need to be challenged. Yeah, some need to be coddled, if that's what you want to call it. But if they need to be coddled all day long, they're in the wrong company. You know, they need to be in a nursery, not a business.
Or there's a deeper issue that you are not equipped nor called to help them through, and they need somebody else. You're just a mix match.
Like, I think like a millennial, even though I'm clearly not. But if you were managing me and you checked in with me every day, like, hey, how are you doing? Are you hitting your numbers? I historically was a sales guy in my career. I'd be like, the first couple of days, I'd be like, yeah, I'm moving in the right direction. Why do you keep asking? Well, I just want to make sure you're on track. Man, that would so demotivate me. I just want to come up with a number for the end of the month or week. Leave me alone, and I'm going to come in and crush it. And then all I want from you is a high five. There are millennials that are like that, and we're calling them lazy, and we're micromanaging them, and that's why they're quitting.
Right. We don't understand that autonomy piece. You know what Daniel Pink talked about, where in his book Drive,
right,
is that people want that autonomy. You and I use the acronym CAR with the system and soul model. Is that, you know, leaders are charged with creating clarity about the work. What does winning look like? Providing the autonomy and the tools to go do it, and then holding accountable for results, which nobody really mind. Like you said, they want to be measured, but what's the tool? Is it clear what I'm being measured against? And I don't mind being held to that standard so long as it's clear, but then let me just go do my daggum job. Just let me go do this work, especially if they are motivated. And obviously there's always, you know, one-off circumstances and it doesn't look the same for everybody, but the principles are still there, right?
Yeah. You know, this is Zig Ziglar's an OG motivational speaker, but he has a great quote that says, you can get everything in life you want if you simply help enough other people get what they want. And I think that's the main job of a manager, find out what motivates the other person and then just help them do it. You're only as good as your team. Like, this is not rocket science, but I think we've made it either too complicated or we're simply not doing the stuff we know we need to do. I think
we know better. We're just not doing better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I would agree with you. As a when I hear people say it's not rocket science, I think of a guy that worked for me. He had some great but very goofy sayings. And one of them he would say, he goes, it ain't rocket surgery.
Nice.
So in getting back to the listening, the compassion, helping people get what they want, So for that leader that's listening right now, they're jogging, they're running, they're driving. Maybe they pulled over because this is such an action-packed episode and they just couldn't be distracted with anything else. But what would you tell that person so that they could take action in the next 24 hours, right? Because it's great to listen to these things, and God forbid this conversation, and selfishly the entire podcast, but God forbid this conversation turns into another piece of noise in the ether. What is somebody going to do to ground themselves in what they just heard so that they are better 24 hours from now?
Yeah, great question. And I'm going to tell you real quick, and then I'll give you a story to back it up. And I'm going to send you a tool if people want to get a hold of it that they can just download and follow this outline. And basically, it's have a one-to-one conversation with one other person. Just find one other person.
At work or just anywhere?
Anywhere. Okay. Wherever you feel most comfortable. And simply say, hey, can I get 5 minutes of your time? And somebody's going to probably say, yeah, what's up? Say, you know, I just like to hear your story. I don't really know where you worked before here, or I don't know what you did before we met. I'd love to hear your story. And they might say, well, let's grab a coffee or lunch. Okay, that's even better. But if you can only, you know, tough out 5 minutes, say, hey, I'm a terrible listener, but I'm going to do my best to give 5 minutes because I heard this podcast. And I think I need to do it. I'm building the muscle, but I haven't been in the gym in a long time. So, you know, help me out, but I really want to hear your story. I really do. Here's the example. I was a district manager, Gallo Winery out in California, and I was sucking wind, man. I was so bad. And I don't know why, but looking back on it, I was simply flying by the instruments. I couldn't just look out and fly, and I wasn't really reading the instruments right. I was managing by the book. And I wasn't being human. I didn't know that at the time. I was doing it the way they taught me to do it. And so I knew I was going to get fired. So I asked this guy, Sean Delaney, one of my reps. I said, hey man, could we get together this weekend? And he's like, I don't think any of these guys liked me. They were scared of me. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I said, I was walking out to the car with him in the parking lot. I said, man, I'm probably going to get fired because I guess I'm apparently not very good at my job. And you could just see the whole, like, he just opened up. And he's like, really? And I said, yeah, I just want to have a beer with you. And just, I'd love to hear about your life, man. I don't know anything about you. He like tilts his head, you know, like a deer in the head, like a dog looking at you, dumbfounded. And he said, yeah. So we got together and we probably spent an hour there at the pub. And I was being way more myself than I was as a leader because I'm a personable guy. And we're walking out of that bar and he said, hey, can I give you a piece of advice? I said, yeah. He said, well, first of all, this was the best meeting I've ever had at Gallo Winery. I feel more heard, more appreciated. I'm sorry you're not going to be here because you're actually a decent dude. But you ought to do this with every other guy on the team before you depart. And I'm like, wow, that's weird, but okay. So I did. I that next week I got with every guy. And they were all the same reaction. And so here's the deal. My team was in last place. Here's the payoff. I get called up to corporate in LA and my bosses want to talk to me. And I'm like, yeah, here it is. So I walk in and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? I'm just ready for being fired. They said, what are you doing with your team? Same thing I've always been doing. They said, well, your numbers are way up. And they're frustrated because now they can't fire me. They had justification. And I don't know if they wanted to, but you know, the last person on the list, you just get rid of them. They're obviously no good. And I said, I did meet with each guy and kind of had a beer with them. They're like, well, that's not it. What else are you doing? I went, pretty much same thing. By the end of the month, we were in first place.
Wow.
Because I kept treating these guys. Now that I got to know them, I'd see Sean Delaney the next week and I go, hey, how's your baby girl, Jessica, doing? because he had just had a baby. He lights up, man. He lights up like, oh, thanks for asking. You know what? She had a sniffle and we couldn't sleep last night. I start having more compassion and empathy, and maybe empathy is the key word here. And I end up getting promoted like a year later. Go figure.
Wow.
So take time. Right. Just get to know people.
So everybody, you can have a 5-minute conversation, even if you're a sucky conversationalist. So find somebody and go build that muscle. And I think the gym's a great thing because I'm about to go and
pump it up.
Hit the gym. Yeah, every day I'm reminded of how weak I am training for this half Ironman thing. So
you're a beast.
I'm just trying to catch up with you, brother.
I've only done one. You can get there, but that's impressive.
One is greater than zero.
Fair.
So go have, so listeners, tens of people are listening right now is my joke, but I do hope that you go and you find that one person. And as somebody who, I have some similar stories to what Andy just shared, as I sucked as a manager, and I tried to do all these different things and follow the pattern of everybody else. But when I started prioritizing one-on-ones with my team, we really started to pull together and achieve some things that for a group of people in our 20s with no prior experience in a particular industry, we pulled off something that put us in 14% of small businesses nationwide. And it's none of us were all that brilliant.
Yeah, it works.
But we pulled together and we got to know each other and that something just started to happen. So I am 100% behind what Andy just shared and what he's encouraging you to do. And if you have some great stories, email me, Kenny@KennyLang.com. I'll pass them along to Andy as well. But Andy, I've so enjoyed this conversation. You're definitely getting an invite back if you'll join me. I'm sure we could ponder about a million different things, but if people want to learn more about you, the work you're doing and putting out in the world, or maybe they want to bring you into their organization, where do you send people? Where should they be finding you?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. The easiest place is my name, Andy, A-N-D-Y at andychristensen.com. And it's Christian S-E-N. And pretty simple. And then I've got a podcast called Tenacious, where it's entrepreneurs who've overcome great challenges discussing how they've done it. So awesome.
Awesome.
That's it.
Go find, like, subscribe, all those cool action words that everybody tells you you're supposed to say about podcasts. But go find Andy's podcast. Email him. He's also a great follow on LinkedIn. He puts out some phenomenal content. I saw you just put out a 2-question thing for talent earlier today.
Yeah.
So everybody go check him out. Andy, thank you so much. I enjoyed this and
my pleasure.
See you again soon.
Sounds good, brother. Have a good one.